This is the city, Jerusalem. It's righteous. A lot of people live here, most of them good. But when they fall from grace, that's where I come in. My name's Friday. Good Friday. I carry a badge.
The story you are about to hear is true. None of the names have been changed because only one was innocent.
It was Thursday, April 6th, 11:07 a.m. My partner Frank and I had just completed the Barabbas case. Booked him on a 314. A call came in on 432 City Ordinance 14, walking on water. We sent Malloy and Reed out to investigate. They came back empty-handed. The suspect had outrun the patrol boat. Members of the Jewish persuasion subpoenaed a man from Nazareth named Jesus Christ. The charge? Blasphemy. Frank saddled the donkey. I got the light. We headed out the door. 12:42. We arrived at the home of a follower of the mentioned suspect and approached with caution.
Gee, Goody, mind if I knock this time?
Sure, Frank. Live it up.
So, hello, officers. What can you do for me?
Your name, Thomas?
Yeah, did I do something wrong?
We just want the facts. You know a man named Jesus Christ?
Yeah, I know him. What's this all about?
What's this all about? Says he's the son of God.
What do you say?
Well, he's a great guy. You should see the miracles he does.
We just need the facts, sir. Just the facts.
Well, son of God.
Yes, sir.
I doubt it.
Reports say he's at a garden in Gethsemane. What do you say?
Gethsemane? I know the place. I doubt it.
Kind of makes him a doubting Thomas, doesn't it?
So, you write your own material?
They say this Jesus is the king of the Jews.
What do you say?
Well, that I doubt.
Calls himself the light of the world.
What do you think?
I doubt it.
They claim he's mankind's salvation.
How about you?
Well, I doubt it.
Right. You going to be available for any further questioning?
I doubt it.
Frank and I stopped at a fish stand for lunch. 8, got back on the donkey and headed out to the house of yet another Jesus follower.
Hey, Goody. Here's great fish. Only $1.50 a bucket. What a deal.
Must have been a good catch. You got some coleslaw on your nose, Frank.
Yeah. Could you turn down your stereo?
My what?
Your stereo.
Oh, okay. Honey, could you turn down the stereo? It's the thing next to the dishwasher.
Yeah?
Your name's Simon, also called Peter?
Yeah.
Which is it?
It's both.
Listen, Simon, what do your friends call you?
The Rock.
How are you listed in the phone book?
I don't have a phone.
What's it say on your driver's license?
I haven't got a donkey either.
What's it say on your fishing license?
Retired.
You know a guy named Jesus?
Jesus? No, never heard of him.
Look, we've got over a dozen witnesses here having seen you with him on a number of occasions. Now, what do you mean you don't know him?
Well, maybe it was just somebody that looked like me, because I don't know him.
Hey, Rocky, you got a toothpick?
Look, I don't know him.
When we arrived back at headquarters, a farmer was waiting with a 402 complaint. Willful destruction of private property. Frank went to call his wife. I went to question the farmer.
You get a man, I get a bull, honey. You get a man, I get a bull, babe. You get a man, I get a bull. No, you get a man, I get a bull, honey.
Whoa.
Hey.
You the farmer?
Sure I am. You the officer? Love whistles. Think you get me one of those?
Yeah, I'll get you a whole box if it keep you from singing. What's your problem?
What's this Jesus fella?
Jesus again. What happened?
He killed one of my fig trees.
What'd he do, tear it up?
Nope, never even went near it. He just cursed it.
He what?
He cursed it.
Look, just give me the facts. Huh?
Well, I got these five fig trees down by the fence, you know?
Yes, sir.
And this here Jesus fella comes sashing along, figuring he's going to mooch one of my figs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sir, and he saw their none to be had. He cursed it.
I see. Well, we'll get right on it. We'll let you know if anything comes up.
Hey, listen here, baldhead. Now I'm a taxpayer and 20% of my crop's gone. Now what am I going to do? I got a wife, I got a kid, I just bought a dishwasher.
All right. Did you see what he was driving?
A donkey.
What color?
Light brown, Galilee plates.
Did you get the number?
Nope.
Why not?
Tail light was out.
4:45. Frank and I headed back to the fish stand. The donkey made a wrong turn and proceeded down an alley behind the temple. We ran into still another Jesus follower.
Gee, I don't know, Goody. Maybe we're lost. Boy, it sure stinks back here.
Maybe we should have sent Sergeant Laverne. His beat, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Hey, wait a minute. Isn't that someone up there?
Yeah, pull a donkey up here, Frank.
Oh, well.
Hey, buddy. You know the way back to Goldstein's fish den?
Yeah.
Want to tell us?
Okay. Go to the end of the alley. Hang a right. Go down two blocks. Can't miss it. Big fish going around in the sky.
Thanks. By the way, what are you doing back here?
Me? I got a meeting with the Pharisees a little later on.
Pharisees, huh? So who are you?
Name's Iscariot. Judas Iscariot.
You one of the 12?
What's it to you, gum sandal?
We're looking for Jesus. Now, do you know where he is?
Maybe yes and maybe no. What's in it for me?
I got some more fish back in the donkey.
No, I just ate. Spare change?
Let's see. That's my bowling money.
Get some change here from the coffee machine.
Here's 20 silver pieces.
Get another 10. That's 30. 30 pieces of silver, do you?
That'll do. Okay, you got to promise me one thing.
What's that?
Don't tell Jesus that I ratted on him, okay?
10-4. No one will ever know it was you. Now, how do you want to set this thing up?
Well, let's see. It's going to be the Passover. We're going to eat about 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You pick him up in the garden about 10:30.
10:30. Fine. How are we supposed to know this Mr. Jesus fellow?
I'll point him out to you.
That's not good enough.
Why not?
We need something more definite. What if we get the wrong guy?
Okay, I'll go up to him and I'll shake his hand.
That's still not definite enough.
Why?
What if someone shakes your hand first?
Well, what do you want me to do, kiss him?
Sounds good. Okay, we'll see you tonight. Where are we supposed to meet you?
Don't worry, I'll be hanging around.
That night, Frank and I busted the Son of God ring and arrested Jesus Christ. 6 a.m. the following morning, we turned him over to Pontius Pilate.
Alwyn! Alwyn!
Excuse me, have you seen Alwyn anywhere?
Who?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
I don't know, Goody. I've been a cop a long time. This time, I really think we did the wrong thing. I mean, this Jesus guy didn't look like a criminal to me.
Even Pilate and Herod couldn't find anything wrong with him. I wonder what the Pharisees have against him.
He was so nice and gentle. You know, I even think he smiled at me.
Yeah. Well, that's how it goes in this business, Frank. We don't make the laws. We just enforce them. I'm kind of tired. I think I'll take the rest of the day off. I'll see you Monday.
Aren't you working Sunday?
No, Frank. Sunday's Easter.
Friday, April 7th, in Department 6 of the Jewish Supreme Court, Jesus Christ was tried and convicted of blasphemy. Later that same day, he was crucified for the sins of the world. In a moment, the results of that crucifixion.
Tuesday, April 10th, 9:05 a.m. My partner Frank Gannon and I were working day watch out of the station house when the boys from rent control brought in 43 rabbis and their BBDs for processing. Frank and I had just finished sweeping up the dust when the chief first told us about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We sprang into action. At 10:45, we began our lengthy investigation at the scene of the crime, the empty tomb.
We figured for a stone that big to be rolled away, it had to be a conspiracy. As we were collecting clues, we spotted a couple of gardeners. We tried to question them, but they flew away. May 21st, 12:14 p.m. Frank and I had spent 6 weeks trying to find Jesus. After many close calls, we caught up to him in the hills just outside of Jerusalem. But before we could question him, he rose on a cloud into the heavens. Frank and I weren't discouraged, though. He said he'd be back. We decided to continue our investigation by questioning a previous suspect, Simon Peter.
Gee, Goody. That was really something, the way Jesus went up in the clouds like that.
Oh, come on, Frank. It was no big deal.
Oh, really? Well, how'd he do it?
Well, he's got, knock on the door, Frank, will you?
Well, you think he used ropes or something?
Well, I don't know. Maybe not ropes, but they got a... I'm sure they got a kind of a thing that they...
Oh, hello, officers. Long time no see.
Mm-hmm. Listen, what are folks calling you nowadays, huh?
Oh, Peter's fine.
Mm. Okay, listen, Peter, we're looking for Jesus again. Have you seen him?
Sure, just talking with him.
There you go, Frank. I told you that cloud thing was a hoax. Where is he, huh?
He's in my heart.
Where? In with the arteries and the capillaries?
No, I mean spiritual.
Well, listen, don't try to change the subject. We understand you and your friends have been spending a lot of time in an upper room. Is that true?
Yep.
The owner said he couldn't understand a word you guys said. What was it, a translator's convention?
Or maybe you were speaking in code, huh?
No, it was tongues of fire.
Did you guys send out for some spicy food or something?
No, you don't understand. This is a whole different thing.
Well, listen, let's stay on the subject, huh? Now, what were you doing up there anyway?
Waiting.
Waiting for what?
The baptism of the Holy Spirit.
What's that, a radio show, like Treasure of Sierra Madre?
Yeah, maybe the Shadow Knows.
No, officers, you don't understand. There's absolutely nothing make-believe about this.
Well, listen, stay on the subject now. We're not interested in this Holy Spirit. We're looking for Jesus.
The both one.
No, wait a second. You trying to tell us that two or one?
No.
Good.
Yeah, that'd be ridiculous. Two or one
is marbled or something.
Everybody knows it's three.
Three or two? No, it's two or three, right?
No. Three or one.
You into the new math?
Nope. New covenant.
Frank and I returned to the station. It was 12:45 when we arrived. Frank went out for coffee and donuts. I took over at the desk. Between phone calls, a local beggar came in to register a complaint.
Okay, so, Mr. DeMilo, now you say you saw both hands on the statue last night when you fed the cat, but this morning when you got up, they were missing, right? Okay, sir, this sounds like another case of vandalism. There's not a whole lot we can do about it now except check the local hawk shops and see what turns up. We'll let you know if we find anything. Yes, sir. Thank you.
You in charge here?
I'm watching the desk, sir. What's your problem?
What do you mean by that, buddy? You saying it looks like I got a problem?
No, sir, I didn't say that. Just most people come in here want to talk about something.
Well, I do, but it's not about me. It's Blind Alex.
Mm-hmm, I see. What'd he do?
Nothing. He didn't do nothing. That's just the point. He was just sitting there by the gate, beautiful. Business as usual, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hawking pencils. Doing really good, too. You ought to see him go. He's always been one of the best, you know? He can turn two or three dinero before lunch. Mm-hmm. Talk a leopard right out of his spot.
Just a fact, sir.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Anyway, there's old Alex going about his own business when these two Jesus freaks walk up. Mm-hmm. Well, Al, he don't know who they are. Can't see and all being blind, you know?
Yes,
he goes on over to him and asks him for a couple of farthings. Well, sir, out of the blue, the one with the beard says, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." And just like that, Al's eyeballs almost pop out of their sockets.
Well, so what's the problem? Sounds like your friend got a break.
Got a break! Oh. Listen here, Domehead. Oh. How's Alex supposed to support his family? Oh. The man's 40 years old, blind since birth. He's been begging all of his life.
Easy.
What's he supposed to do now? Who's going to hire him? Would you give a man a job like that?
No way!
Ain't no one going to give him a job. He can't even go back to the gate and pretend everybody in town's talking about it.
Sir, I don't see what we can do about it. Now, it doesn't sound like they've broken any laws.
Well,
you know yourself, this isn't the first time that's happened.
Well, yeah, but look, can't you get him for interfering with a private businessman or practicing medicine without license?
No, sir. Technically, they're not even responsible. It sounds like Jesus is.
Oh, I see. So you're not going to do nothing, huh?
Oh.
No one ever thinks about the private businessman anymore.
Sir, there's nothing we can do about it. We don't handle religious matters here. Sir, calm down. If you like, we'll notify the Pharisees about it for you.
Pharisees, eh?
Yes, sir.
Well, I suppose that'll help.
Okay, listen, sir, my partner's out right now, but I promise as soon as he comes back, we'll drop by the temple and report it.
Oh, there ain't nobody over there today. They're all out at the rock festival.
Oh, we got a music group in town?
No!
Oh!
They're stoning some Christians. I better get over there, too. Double hitter!
After spending an hour in the infirmary, Frank and I went upstairs to check the file on stoning permits. The event in question was scheduled for 2:30. We had just enough time to hobble across town.
Well, at least we got a handicapped parking space. Let's see. Where do we get some tickets around here?
I don't know. You'd think as police officials we get a free box.
Programs, souvenirs, get your programs, get your rocks, stony Christian, please ain't everything.
Hey, excuse me. Yeah, is this where we get our tickets?
Sure is, officer. What'll it be? You can sit on either side with the Pharisees or the Christians.
Well, what do you suggest?
Well, there's plenty of room on the Christian side, but the hot tip today is if you ain't wearing your flak vest, you'll be squeezing with the Pharisees.
Oh, okay, give me a couple of seats behind the Pharisee dugout, huh?
You kidding? You show up on game day and expect to sit with his scribes? You're lucky we got some bleacher seats left.
Can we talk to the Pharisees from out there?
Yeah, you can chat with the guys in the bullpen.
Maybe we'll meet Lenny Colfax.
Not a chance. Not today. He's starting. He's got a great fastball. Hasn't had a no-hitter all year. When he throws a strike, they're out. Of course, he ain't as good as old Solly Tarsus, but he's the best they got since old Solly went free agent.
When did that happen?
That was a couple years ago. Solly was on his way out to Damascus for spring training when he claims he met this Jesus in Nazareth guy.
In Damascus?
No, just outside.
Your friend Saul know where to find Jesus?
He didn't say where, but he did say knew how. That same thing?
That's good enough. Where can we get a hold of this Saul?
Well, I ain't seen him lately, but you might try his dad's house.
Thanks. Let's go, Frank.
Just a minute, officers. That'll be 3 shekels, please.
Oh, we decided not to go to the game.
Not for the game, for the information.
It's kind of steep, isn't it?
All right, I'll throw in a pennant.
Okay, yeah. Gee, Goody, mind if I pick the pennant?
Sure, Frank. Live it up.
You got any Christian ones?
You kidding? No way. The Pharisees own all the concessions. In fact, that's what's wrong with them Christians. They never make any concessions.
Being an accomplished law enforcement officer, I always follow up a solid lead. At 7:45 that evening, Frank and I began our search for Saul of Tarsus, alias Paul the Apostle, at the house of his father.
Jiggity, I just don't understand why they're stoning all those Christians. You know, I didn't see anything wrong with them. They seemed nice enough to me. And of course, I didn't see anything wrong with Jesus either, and look what they did to him.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope this is the place. All these tents look alike.
Yeah, well, that's a problem with track homes.
Yeah, what do you want?
Good evening, sir. You Mr. of Tarsus?
Yeah, Saul. What's it to you?
You got a son named Saul?
Yeah, but whatever he's done, I'm not responsible.
It's all right, sir. We're just here to ask some questions.
When was the last time you saw your son?
Quite a while back. It was right before I left for Damascus. Hasn't been the same since. I don't know what he is.
You say you've noticed some erratic behavior?
Hey, let me tell you something. My Sully, he was a good kid. He had a lucrative tent business. He was a Pharisee, too. Mm-hmm. Just like his papa. You should see him. He'd get out in the middle of town and repeat prayers better than anyone. He had a better delivery than Rabbi Youngman's kid, Danny.
Just a fact, sir.
So he takes off for Damascus and lightning strikes. He claimed this Jesus guy talks to him and his whole life is changed. And all of a sudden, this bon voyage, he starts traveling around from town to town and preaching and forming churches and down there getting himself killed.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard from him?
You kid? Not a word. He writes the Ephesians, the Galatians, the Corinthians, but did you ever hear of his epistle to Dad?
No,
ungrateful kid.
Well, do you know where he is now?
Yeah, he's in Rome.
What's he doing there?
I think he works for a savings and loan company.
What makes you say that?
Said he was in bonds.
July 29th, 3:14 p.m. Frank and I started our voyage for Rome in search of Paul the Apostle, and perhaps the root of the Jesus conspiracy.
This must be the place.
Yeah.
Certainly doesn't look like a savings and loan, huh?
Yeah, it looks like a jail to me.
Well, maybe they locked Paul up with the money, huh? Oh, this must be him here. Excuse me.
I'm Sergeant Friday. This is my partner, Frank Gannon. Hi. We're officers from Jerusalem PD.
Hello, I'm Paul, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
We're here to ask some questions about this Jesus movement. We understand you're the leader.
Oh, no, Jesus is the leader. I'm just a believer. But I'll gladly share anything you'd like to hear about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What are you writing?
It's a letter to the Philippians.
Which one?
All of them.
What do you mean? That's like sending a letter to California.
Well, you see, I send it to the Christians there, and they all read it and pass it around among them. You know, back and forth and back and forth and back and
forth. Look, can we change the subject?
Sure.
Hey, listen, can we have a look at what you're writing there?
Go ahead.
Let's see here. Having mine own, not having mine own righteous, which is of the law, but this stuff's kind of strange, isn't it? Where's the stuff like having a great time, wish you were here? I don't understand any of this.
Well, you see, the natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit.
Yeah, well, it's all Greek to me. Listen, Paul, now we have it that you were a Pharisee before all this. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a position of wealth, of prominence, and with a future. Why did you give all that up to follow Jesus?
Well, you see, I was a very prideful man. Oh, sure, I was real religious. I practically lived in the synagogue. Mm-hmm. Always trying to fit God into my plans rather than really totally willing to surrender myself to his ways.
Yes, sir.
Well, finally, I was just so hard-hearted that God had to get me flat on my back in order to speak to me. And while I was lying there, I heard a voice come from out of heaven. And you know who it was?
Cecil B. DeMille?
No, it was Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And it was then that I realized that God wanted to have a personal relationship with me. He doesn't care if I'm religious. He looks at our hearts.
Yeah, Peter told us something about having Jesus in his heart.
Yeah, that's right.
In your heart, huh? Say, are you aware we might be able to get you on charges of harboring a criminal?
What are you going to do, throw me in jail?
Oh, we'll see. In the meantime, don't leave here. We may want to question you again.
Why should I want to leave? My prison ministry's thriving.
Yeah. Come on, Frank, let's go.
Say, Paul, is following Jesus worth going to jail for?
Let me tell you something, Frank. I'm freer now than most people will ever be. I've been totally pardoned.
Huh. Yeah, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Unlike most law enforcement cases, the story of Jesus Christ goes on. We see his effect on people's lives everywhere. And now, the results of Sergeant Friday and Officer Gannon's investigation. Sergeant Good Friday. Sergeant Friday totally rejected any belief in the facts of Jesus Christ. He continued in a lifetime sentence of bondage to sin. Currently, as a result of drunkenness and multiple divorces, he has been demoted to a security cop at Kmart. Officer Frank Gannon. On November 4th, Officer Gannon gave his life to Jesus Christ. Now, free from sin, he has life and that more abundantly.